hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Yale Bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. You know, I did remember to press record on our video, which I forgot yesterday.
Great.
So
love
sorry
it.
To anybody who's dealt with our asses twice this week, not having video. Not good, but you know what? It's very rare.
It happens.
This is just that kind of week. Everybody, we sure love you. Thanks for being here. You can get these videos on patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. It's also where you get our bonus episodes. Ben came out of the closet this week.
I did.
With a huge revelation. So go check that out in the bonus episode. And gosh, it's been a busy one. Real Housewives of Orange County, two-part season finale. Well, for us, it was two parts. Season finale. Just a lot of good stuff going on.
Yeah.
What's happening in your personal life today, Ben? Want to share anything before I have to find it out from Olivia, who found it out from Shep, who found it out from Austin, who found it out from God knows who?
Well, the first thing that I'm excited to announce is that my foam finger finally arrived because I'm going to be wearing it today and cheering you on the Jeff Lewis Show on Sirius XM. You are, by the time this airs, your show probably already did air, but for people who did not know about that, go check that out. You can go find that. I don't know where you find it.
Oh, yeah, I should have said
Sirius
that
XM.
On the show. What the hell?
That's okay, but really excited for you. And say hi to all of them over there. That's going to be super, super fun. The other thing that I'm excited to announce is that the official word of Southern Charm this season is So congratulations to This is a big season for you because everyone's saying it all the time, repeatedly, on camera.
I personally blame Olivia. Olivia and Taylor are funny additions. They really made them the leads of the season, and I guess we're yet to see why. But it was a pretty fun episode. There was a lot of ums. And just your background today, Ben's video background is Taylor's sweater. It looks like his house has been egged.
I am broadcasting from the half-melted mac and cheese that is Taylor's sweater. The shredded Sorrento cheddar cheese that has partially melted into the goop that needs to then be poured all over the macaroni. This is where I am recording from.
It's just not the color. Okay, it's the color and then a darker color and then the pattern and then the turtleneck sweater of it all.
It's too much.
And then the fringe. And
the fringe is really
fringe.
What pulls it over. The fringe is where it really is looking like half melted shredded cheese, right? Like the casserole's not done. The mac and cheese has just been pulled out of the oven a little bit too early. It's like, just remove one or two elements from the sweater and we'll be fine. But all of it all together, I don't know. I think that Jesus led her astray on this one. I think she, maybe she should have gone to fashion Jesus because she may have just been relying on Catherine Dennis over at Gwyn's to help her pick out the sweater. Use a different crutch when it comes to the sweaters.
Yeah. You're not going to get the vacated Gwen's job this way. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it a forced vacated spot? Whatever. Gwen is not going to be hiring you after this. You're going to need to get it together. And you're going to be day chasing for a very long time. You're not going to get the Gwen's gig with the sweater.
Yeah, no, I know that you are representing a brand called Day Chaser, but it doesn't mean you have to look like a sad son. So anyway,
I hope your sweater chases the sun so closely that it burns, okay? Because it's a terrible, terrible sweater. Okay, so here we are with Below Deck. I am on Real Housewives of Orange County notes, which isn't going to be very helpful. But the title could still work. Welcome to the Freak Show. I mean, we're in a world, guys. You know, and I love when shows can really take us into a whole different world. This is a different world. Charleston, I don't understand really these people.
Yeah.
I don't understand where they're coming from. And can I just say, we've got two people all sad and crying about Austin.
Yeah.
What kind of fucking world? And Shep. I mean, it's Austin and Shep we're crying about. Are you fucking kidding me?
What a world. So we open up with like wacky things happening in Charleston. For instance, Madison doesn't really know how to fold sheets. So she does that thing where she kind of bundles it together and then does like a soft fold over the bundle. So the bundle is folded, but the actual sheets are not inherently folded.
That's so, what I do, actually. Yeah. Oh, because fuck folding sheets. Fuck you, sheets. Okay? Fuck cotton in general. Fuck cotton. Well, guess what I use now? I use bamboo sheets, which they're called bamboo sheets.
I got them off Amazon.
Me too.
They're so delicious.
For years now, I just love them. They're so soft. I don't know that they say 100% bamboo. That is some polyester shit. I don't know what it is.
No,
it
it's
does
not,
not wrinkle.
Polyester has a different feeling to it, for sure. Like, I've gotten polyester sheets before, and they're like...
It's something. I don't believe that it's all natural bamboo. I don't believe it. But it is something. It's something very unnatural, but also very lovely, because you don't have to fold it. You know what? Bundle it up, Madison.
I bought expensive sheets in the past, and they were nice. But then I bought these from Amazon, and they were like, this is wonderful. I am obsessed with my bamboo sheets. But I agree, they're definitely not. It's definitely not bamboo. I mean, it's literally not bamboo.
I just don't believe it. So
it's clouds.
I believe that those are 100% bamboo, the same way I believe that Madison is now Martha Stewart, okay?
Yeah.
Because she's really playing that one too hard.
Yeah. But that being said,
laundry. Hold on, later I'm going to open the front door and I'm going to do something to the steps. Spoiler alert, I don't want to even tell you what it is. Y'all have to wait and see, okay? It's my storyline. Yeah. Martha Stewart.
You have to wait and see. But in the meantime, I'm going to go waste some valuable space in my wardrobe by folding these sheets in an unkempt way. Okay.
So, that was me shaming you, Ronnie, for folding your sheets like that, because you're wasting so much space. You could be having such a more compact sheet folding situation.
You don't know. I didn't tell you my whole situation, how I do it. Do you really want to know, or are you just going to mock me?
Of course. This is an episode about fabric, okay? The background of my box here on Craps on Demand necessitates that we talk about fabric wherever we can today.
I know everyone's dying to hear how I take care of my sheets. So here we go, guys. Buckle up. So what I do is I kind of, do what she did. I do like Shannon having an argument where she like gets her hands and she does this with her sheets, like karate chopping, but in a circular motion. Okay. Yeah. I do that with the sheets until they're all, all the right pillowcases, the body pillowcase, everything that's going to be included. I have four different pillows, different textures, a body pillow. Yeah. I get it all together, all the colors that I want, because I have different colors for different moods. Okay, I get all those together in a package, and then I use one of the king pillowcases, and I shove it all in the king pillowcase, so it's packaged, and you can see when you're going to make your bed, this is the seafoam green outfit for my bed. It even fits the comforter cover, and I put those all, and then I stack the pillowcases next to each other in my closet, so you, when you see them in my closet, you see a row of sacks that are the sheets you're going to be able to use, and it's a whole outfit for the bed.
That's fun. That's fun.
It is.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you in that system.
Well, so, thank you, sheet shamer. No, okay, so then we go to
Taylor.
I'm
not shaming your sheets. I'm shaming the way that they will not stack nice and compact.
No.
And get maximum space.
I am really bad at that. I can't even fold things the same size when they're my shirts. Nothing's correct. You're correct in that way. I'll give you that, sheet shamer.
You know what? I'm not shaming your method. I'm shaming your execution, because you could still have your method, but you could execute it in a flatter way. Okay.
Whatever works. We are in the South. So Taylor is on the phone with Austin, and we see him in bed, and I think a close up of a bar that's in his bedroom. Am I getting this right?
When I look at Austin, I just basically try to take in as few things. Few details of the surroundings as possible. Although I did pick up on a detail that I'll mention later in the episode. So I don't know. His mouth was wide open.
His mouth is wide open. Yeah, it really is. Muppeting more every day. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
He has a whirlpool mouth. He opens up and things swirl into it. Little boats. Fish.
I do have to say, though, we're really mean to Austin. Well, everybody, I guess, but especially Austin. Oh, I just whistled into the phone. Oh, God, I've always wanted that to be my gay
Wow, you're just like JT, calling for poppy seed.
Instead of a lisp, I've always wanted a whistle, and I just had it. I just had a whistle. So anyway, they're on the phone. What was I going to say? Oh, we're mean to Austin, but I have to say, he has the cutest house out of everybody, I think. I love the exterior. I love the color.
He has a nice little house. Yeah. Craig's house is turning out very nicely too, but his is like a whole thing, you know. So anyway, the point is that Austin's terrible. I don't know if we actually articulated that, but we can just get right to that. He's terrible. So he's waking up in a terrible way, as usual. And so he calls Taylor and he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm hungover. I have a bit of hangxiety, which is hangover anxiety, I guess. So she's going to come over. She's going to go to Austin's place because he's hired an IV service to hydrate them. Maybe it's Nomad MD. Not sure, but one can hope.
So does Austin have a job yet? I mean, I know Trot Pop. I know we're supposed to pretend that that's selling. But, I mean, it's on Southern Charm. But I don't know. I feel like
I think he was hired to be a financial analyst for a local investment firm in town. Just kidding. Speaking went out of his belly button.
I have a friend who works for one of these IV places, and that shit's expensive. I was going to support her, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to support you. I would rather take you to lunch. That will be cheaper than a fucking IV of your whatever it is, even.
Gatorade or something. Just get Gatorade. Yeah. Just get Gatorade.
So they're going to hang out. So Vanita is FaceTiming Charles, probably, to invite Olivia to a soiree. And Vanita's like, the dress is dress casual. And Olivia's like, your dress casual is my prom night. Yeah.
It was great. It was a great moment for everyone. So then we go to JT's apartment, which is actually the messiest of all of them. His apartment looks actually like a very large, nice apartment, but it's a shithole because everything is everywhere. And he's being funny. He's like, Siri, get me Advil. And then he's like taking pills. He's like, please hurry. And then we see that he's actually a diabetic because he's taking out the thing to test his finger, his blood sugars, and he's doing the
I was hoping that we were all finally coming out of the closet with heroin use on Bravo, but no, it was diabetes one.
Just diabetes, as Brett Michaels would say. He's got the diabetes.
Diabetes. Yeah.
So he FaceTimes his mom, Bunny, which is funny because, like, his mom literally looks like a bunny. And I'm not saying that in a way, like, a mocking way. Like, she just sort of looks like a bunny. And, like, her ears are just without the ears.
Isn't there another mom named Bunny on this show? Isn't Austin's mom named Bunny? Hold on. Austin Kroll mom.
There's probably a lot
pretty
of
pretty sure someone's
bunnies. Surprised that who's gerbil Austin never caught up at, like, as a name, as like Wendy. A nickname. Wendy?
Yeah.
Don't you think gerbil would be like a good southern nickname? Hi, gerbil.
Southern Charm Mom Bunny. I'm going to see. Mama Bunny, Southern Charm Boutique. Nope. Shep Rose's relationship with Patricia Alstuhl. Nope. That's not it. Okay, I don't think there's a lady named Bunny. Glad you guys all tuned in. Let's continue with the show.
It's just one of those days. Can I tell a real stupid story about Bunny?
Yeah.
I just feel like sharing it. My friend and I, back in like the 2000s, you know, up and coming writers in Hollywood, we're always looking for a gig. And we had like a chance to pitch like a horror movie, which is funny because I hate horror. I'm scared of everything. And we had a chance to pitch a horror movie to this director. And so we pitched this whole stupid slasher movie. And he's like, no, man. He's like, I want it to be like, it's like a woman, but like, she's like alone, but she's like feeling erotic, but she's like nervous and her roommate's gone. And there's this old film called Repulsion. And he basically wanted to do a version of Repulsion. It was like a Roman Polanski movie, artsy from the 60s. And we're like, okay, so we made this really good slasher movie. And he didn't like it because it wasn't pretentious enough. We're like, let's come up with literally the most ridiculous art house, pretentious bullshit horror story that barely makes any sense, but it has so many things that don't make sense. And we'll just pitch it like it is actually the most artful and horrible thing. And it was basically about a woman who like spends a weekend alone in her roommate's house. And while she's there, she has like traumatic flashbacks to a dog of her childhood that terrorized her, and the dog was named Bunny. And we're like, yeah, because it's like, it's a dog, but it's named Bunny, so it's like really nice because it's called Bunny, but it's a dog that and the director loved it. He loved that there was a dog named Bunny. So when we talk about bunnies, it just makes me think of pretentious ass directors falling for stupid shit. I don't know if that story was worth it, but it felt good to tell it.
You know what? Can't believe that movie didn't get made. That much.
I really can't believe it. But they loved it. It was gonna get made, and then he was like, oh, he got pulled off to do some other thing. But like for a moment, our movie, and we called it Bunny too, by the way. Our movie about a dog named Bunny almost was. Yeah.
Well, I've got breaking news, everybody. Or newsflash, Ben's favorite term. Newsflash. Guess what?
I got a newsflash.
The mother on Bravo, whose name is Bunny. Ben is going to fail. Well, both of us fail this. What do you call it? Charades, not charades.
Tests.
Trivial Pursuit. We both failed this answer. It is Leah McSweeney's mother. Is
of
named
course,
Bunny. Duh.
Bunny.
How did we not remember that? We're idiots, both of us.
Yeah.
Okay, so JT is now, listen, it wouldn't be the South if there wasn't someone who had a super creepy relationship with their mom. So
yeah.
Let's jump into this Bunny scene with JT and Bunny, his mommy, who, listen, I call my mommy occasionally, but not 20 times a minute. Okay, he's like, mommy, hi, mommy. Mommy, I feel great. Mommy, I'm lying to you. I have too much fun with the boys yesterday, mommy. And she goes, honey, you're doing that tall thing. Could you just put the phone, you know, at your face level, because he's doing that thing where he puts the phone down on the counter so he looks like gargantuan in the phone.
She's right.
Like, okay, Hagrid. Okay, you look really big. Put the phone so your mama can see your beautiful face.
Okay.
And so she's like, how are ya? And he's like, oh, I feel great. I mean, I'm lying to you. She's like, I can tell something was quite right. A little my bunny sense, if you will. And he's like, yeah, I had too much fun with the boys. So, you know, I'm a little sensitive. Yeah, well, you know what? Alcohol and diabetes do not mix. Neither does alcohol with short men. Not as much place to put all the booze. Okay, so it's not good for your health.
To be fair, Bunny, not much mixes with diabetes. Okay, I don't think I've ever heard someone say, "Oh, you know what? X mixed with diabetes. That mixes great with diabetes." You know what goes great with diabetes? Licorice. Like I've never heard anything.
I feel like licorice could go well with it.
No, it can't. Diabetes is very bad. So he's like, I'm in fact a mama's boy, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Now, diabetes 1 can be a death sentence, but my mommy took care of me and instilled the discipline in me to still be here. But you know what? You got to have fun, too. And you got to have fun, and then sometimes you got to sort it out in the morning and hope your mommy can't tell. But guess what? She always does.
Why? Well, you told her. She can always tell when you tell her.
You literally called her to tattletale on yourself.
So she's like, well, what's going on in addition to that? Because the store is born already. And he's like, well, the event space is almost done. I mean, what an amazing mommy-son project. Couldn't have done it without you, mommy. And she's like, yeah, sure, couldn't have. But I could have done it without you. That's the funny part. I'm established in my career. Anyway, it's a space unlike anything they've seen in Charleston. It's amazing.
And he tells us that his mom, Bunny, is the top designer in the D.C. area, and she showed him the ropes. And we see his event space, the before and the after. And, I mean, it looks fine and everything. It looks nice. I will say there are a lot of places like it in the Charleston area. Okay?
Yeah.
It's exactly like everywhere in the Charleston area, which
unlike
is pretty.
Unlike pretty my area. Movie pitch. Unlike my movie pitch, Bunny, it was not very unique. So,
Hey, Bunny, this design's a real dog, okay?
God, I can't believe that movie didn't get made. God, it would have been a really good Ally Sheedy vehicle. So,
literally any movie would have been a good Ally
I'm so
Sheedy.
Sorry. I'm so sorry to our listeners. I'm so sorry to all our new listeners who came in from the Jeff Lewis show that I had to stop the entire podcast to tell that Bunny story. Like, I realized it had no payoff. No payoff.
I got news for you. They're the same listeners. Okay. It's the same. Okay. So JT, they're used to this already. So JT's like, I also had a lot of beer. It was a good event space, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Who cares? So JT's like, you know what? And also, we just bought the largest Airbnb in Charleston right down the street. So my core business is a collection of downtown Charleston Airbnbs. And that is why a couple of years ago, I made Charleston my home.
And as we all know, Airbnb does stand for Air Bunny and Bunny. So
that's when I play basketball in the backyard with Bunny. She's really got a jump on her. I love to make some tennis.
What bunnies can't jump. So Bunny is like, hey. Hey,
Bunny
someone.
Airs. Someone. Bunny Air Bunnies. I'm sorry.
But hey, someone wants to say hi to you. And he's like, don't tell me it's Poppy Seed. Oh my God, it's my girlfriend, Poppy Seed. Hi, sweet angel. Hi, sweet Poppy Seed. And Then he's like, yeah, he does like that.
He does that cartoon whistle, like, oh, with the vibrato in it, where it's like,
it's that whistle that only Michigan J. Frog can do.
Oh, you know what? I just hate him for the dog, because you know the dog is like, fuck off. You know, I finally get some alone time with Bunny, and now here comes you and your stupid fucking whistle. Get out of here. Go back to your Airbnb. We don't need you here.
Oh, God, Poppy Seed, it's no wonder you're named after an opiate, because guess what? I'm addicted to you. Kisses through the phone.
And Mommy's like, you know, it's a rainy day in Virginia today, so we're sitting around the fire. And he goes, oh, I would do anything right now to be in Virginia on a rainy day with Poppy Seed in my lap and my mommy to give me all the ibuprofens I need all day. Some nice mommy snack plates. This is grossing me out at this point.
Chef Kim? This is Chef Kim, isn't it?
This is. We get it. You guys are casting only men children, but this is creepy. This is starting to turn like fetishy for me, and I don't like it.
He's like, I wish I could teleport. Gosh, that looks so good. Home. I'm like, just get into a car at this point. You can do it.
Literally, your Airbnbs just, will be fine. Okay.
You're in South Carolina. She's in Virginia. It's like, get into a helicopter.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
I want you to picture Steve Jobs tinkering with a computer in his garage. Walt Disney drawing cartoons for his high school newspaper. Every big moment starts with a big dream, but what happens when that dream turns out to be an even bigger failure? Each week on Wondery's new podcast, The Big Flop, host Misha Brown is joined by different comedians to chronicle some of the biggest failures and blunders in pop culture history. Each episode will have you thinking, why in the world did this get made? From box office flops like Cats the Movie to Action Park, New Jersey's infamous theme park that had countless injuries, many lawsuits, and rides so wild it became known as Class Action Park, or Quibi, that short-form video platform with an even shorter lifespan. It's a story of a spectacular failure with lots of surprises along the way. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus. Hey, listeners, you need to know that Wondery's shocking true crime podcast Over My Dead Body is back for a fourth season, Gone Hunting. This newest season covers the story of Mike Williams. It was Mike's sixth wedding anniversary when he set off on a hunting trip into the gator-infested swamps of North Florida. He figured he'd be back in time to take his wife Denise out to celebrate, but he never came back. Friends and loved ones feared he met his fate through bad luck and a group of hungry alligators, leaving his young family behind. Except that's not what happened at all. And after 17 years, a kidnapping, and the uncovering of a secret love triangle, the truth would finally be revealed. Enjoy Over My Dead Body, Gone Hunting on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Over My Dead Body early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
So then JT tells us, I grew up in a small town called Great Falls, Virginia. I'm like, excuse me, don't act like we don't know about Great Falls. We are students in the life and times of the Grand Dame Karen Huger. Hello. She was the original Great Falls innovator on Bravo, so don't try to take it from her, okay?
Yeah. He's like, just imagine the perfect childhood. Two loving parents, a bustling stream behind our house, a nature conservancy, so if I wanted to shoot paintballs at my little brother who still holds a grudge, a nice lap on a bunny that I could sit on while I twirled the hair on a woman named Bunny.
Hashtag mama plates. By the way, don't shoot paintballs in a nature conservancy. That's not what the nature conservancies does not. You don't want to put paint in the nature conservancy.
But it's so Southern charm to like go out of your way to say, fuck you, Nature Conservancy. Like, I'm even going to do a monologue about how I shoot paintballs at the Nature Conservancy.
But like, this was a very uncomfortable backstory for me because I'm used to now Real Housewives of New York, which has been on the air for a few months. And every backstory is like tinged with abuse and neglect and sadness and poverty. And he's like, I had the best childhood, and I had a mom and a dad, and I played in nature. And I was like, and then one day we got a new car and it was better than the last car. I'm like, and then unfortunately
on Bravo
He's like, and then unfortunately, we had to go on vacation, and it was just too good of a vacation to do it just once, so we did it three times.
Guys, really loving this Bravo show about privilege. We're going to need some trauma here, though, so maybe just next time. Okay, we got a guy. We got it. Give it to him, JD. JT, give him your monologue. He's like, I am not in my mommy's lap right now.
I looked down at my mama plate. And it was just a napkin I put out for myself. Not the same.
So then we go to the East Bay Nail Spa where Craig is getting a manicure. And he's asking the lady if he can have one finger blue and clear on his toes, which is his vibe. And so Shep comes in and he's like, Craig, hey, Craig, it's me, Shep. Hey, whoa, so this is your Shangri-La, huh?
Yeah. Oh, Shep. Oh, sorry, Craig. I know you didn't understand that reference. Hey, little lady there in the tub. I don't have bad feet, but I got cracked heels. That okay? And she's like, are your nails in grim? No, I got them removed. Oh, God. Thank God we don't have to fix that. We had Thomas Ravenel in here the other day, and wow, talk about a lot of yellow down there.
What did he get? Color and clear? I tell you right now, I don't want that because a woman's place is in the kitchen with colored nails. Okay? Not a man's. A man's place is to have very clear, unpolished nails because I'm going pheasant hunting tomorrow like a man would do. And I don't want anyone painting anything around me.
Yeah. Don't paint my toenails because I'm going pheasant hunting and I'm doing it barefoot. So, like, one thing has nothing to do with the other, but I love that.
And
like,
also,
injection
I don't think that's
wealth.
How you say Shangri-La, is it? Isn't it Shangri-La? He's like, oh, this is your Shangri-La. He's such a weird
guy.
He
said Shangri-La instead of Shangri-La?
Shangri-La, yeah, like Angri-La, like a David E. Kelly show. Angri-La!
Yeah.
Well,
when I was in law school.
Law firm of angry people.
When I was in law school, I specialized in Shangri-La. So, Craig's like, how are
you
feeling?
You better not tell me that pheasants are getting jobs these days.
They are. They're working at Sewing Down South. So, Craig's like, how are you feeling?
Oh, yesterday, gosh, was insane. The whole implication that Austin and Taylor were more than just friends. Oh, that's like telling me there's a pheasant that hasn't been shot yet. It's unacceptable.
Oh, it's really getting to me. She's like, I can tell it's getting to you, but please, you're hitting my face with your knees. As he starts doing the step, like his legs start swimming in his mind. It's like, when my dog goes to sleep and starts having a nap that he's chasing another dog. It's like,
there's blue water splashing all over this nail salon as his feet are like.
So Craig's like, yeah, you know, like it's just like Austin is like sitting here while he's telling that story. Yeah. And then we cut to Austin and Austin's like, well, like eyes wide, tongue moving all over, biting every part of his face.
I mean, Austin wouldn't hold up in an interview room if he was accused of a crime. I mean, if I were a juror, I would not be inclined to find him innocent. Let's put it that way. Guilty.
What's your level of certainty that Austin and Taylor, that nothing happened between them?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I know multiple girls that I used to date that he went and slept with after.
And Shep's like, so do I. Remember Chelsea? Okay, you weren't really dating Chelsea first of all. Second of all, you guys have all dated each other's girlfriends.
Yeah.
That's Charleston, and you say that's how the town is set up. Now, that is the last time I'm going to say anything in favor of Austin, because, of course, Austin totally banged Taylor, don't you think?
I think so, and I do think that this is, like, I can totally see this as being a pattern with Austin. So Shep is like, yeah, Chelsea and I were hanging out, and I left for that weekend, and he moved right in. I was like, well... Says Shep, who has literally done the same thing about 12 times over. And he's like, there's a history of Austin wanting what I have, and sometimes it feels personal. It's almost like toys in the sandbox. I want the toy you have. Well, there's three toys. Nope, yours. Hey, I want to date Kelsey Ballerini.
Isn't Shep the one accused of going to Leva's sandbox and trying to put his hands all over toys?
Okay. Shep, no. That's the best example Shep for you to be all the time. Up, sir.
That's why, remember Shep got so jealous when Craig won the celebrity auction with Kelsey Miller?
Yes.
And like really like every season there's something where Shep is incredibly jealous when Craig gets some sort of attention.
Yeah. And Austin does have a sickness, though, I will say. Austin has some weird illness where he needs to date people on TV and then completely ghost them the second the cameras are down. And it's really, really bad. And then all these fake relationships start piling up. I don't know. That guy does seem like kind of a sicko, but...
He does. But, you know, by the way, it doesn't have to be either or. Yes, Shep is jealous of other people's toys, but Austin is too. They all are. They're all children in the sandbox. They're all throwing sand at each other and whatever pieces of poop have found their way in there too.
Also, I think maybe describing your girlfriend's as toys might be kind of the reason that nobody ever keeps one on this show. Just putting that out there. Not that I've kept one.
That's a good
one.
Point. So not Austin's that I've at ever home.
Kept one either, but you know.
Austin's at home and he's taking pills and drinking green juice. And so Taylor comes over. And so it's just funny because the place is a shithole. And Austin and Taylor are talking in his room. And there's like a little door under the staircase that maybe leads to a closet or maybe to a garage. But either way, it probably leads to some musty ass Austin space. And there's a little sign over it that says, follow your dreams. I was like, this sign is not appropriate for this household. There's nothing about being in Austin's house that says you are following your dreams.
Yeah. Follow your trust account. So Austin's follow like, your oh. He's like, how are you doing? And she's like, I'm fragile. I'm pretty hungover. And IV sounds amazing. And he's like, wait. Why are you fragile, Taylor? And she's like, Olivia and I went to Warehouse and we met this really attractive man. And like, he meets all three requirements that I have. All three of them, Austin. You have to be smart, you have to be funny, and you have to love Jesus.
Okay,
I love
Amy
when
Grant,
people get all holler rollering while they're like getting shit-faced at bars.
Ma'am, so I know comedy is in rules of threes, but I think for like dating, let's like maybe do rules of sevens to 20s. I don't know, like I feel like maybe we should swap out something. Like maybe one rule should be treats you with respect. Maybe one rule should be doesn't have enormous like Peter Pan syndrome. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here.
Love Jesus. That's my favorite one.
Gotta love
because,
Jesus.
Girl, I mean, you dated Shep. I guess this rule came after Shep, right? That's when you start making those rules. Just everything that Shep is not.
Good luck, Jewish people. You're not getting Taylor.
Pretty much, yeah. So Austin...
and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists.
Yeah, pretty much. So Austin's like, how you know he loves Jesus? Did you ask him if he loves Jesus? She goes, yeah. He's like, okay then, you really did that. She's like, yeah. And he's like, you know, I really like you, but I have so much going on. And he's like, you know what? You should just run for the hills. And I'm like, what? Oh my God, poor Taylor. You hear that all the time. Shep told you that for 3 years and you didn't think it was weird.
I just feel bad that I know she had some issues with trying to recognize red flags, but what happens when like she's not even given a red flag? She's just given a path that says go away. And she's like, I don't know. I think I still might like him. Honey,
he does like Jesus though. So she's even wearing a sweatshirt that says Folly Beach, which is so funny because it's like she can't even her sweatshirt can't even take her seriously.
Folly Beach.
Taylor's like, I'm just so confused right now. I'm like, okay, so I guess I might need your therapy person's number. I was like, you don't even know what a therapist is? Yes, you need a number, and not Austin's.
Yeah, I don't know who Austin's therapist is, but they should probably be fired and barred from the profession.
Okay. I can tell you this much. They are wearing a full face
poncho.
Mask.
They're fresh from the Gallagher tribute concert, RIP.
They have a stack of towels next to their chair.
They're wearing their Maid of the Mist blue poncho. They're like, oh, I'm so glad I have another use for this.
They bring a Tide stick to work. Okay.
So Austin's like, oh, my therapist is fucking expensive, Taylor. I was like, okay, you know what? They're actually very smart because they are fleecing Austin for lots of money and they're not actually doing any therapy on him. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. So the IV people come over and do their whole spiel. And then they put on eye patches. They're doing that. And so they're talking about last night. And Austin's like, you know, last night, Taylor, it was awkward, Taylor. It was fucking awkward, Taylor. And he's like, because, you know, let's just say, you were talking about a lot. Okay. It was me. It was Craig. It was Shep. It was JT. And then Roddy Boy met us later. Last night, JT told Shep that you spent the night there and that you spent the night here, rather. And Craig asked JT if our relationship was appropriate. So.
Meanwhile, the nurses have buckets out and they're just catching Austin's spit to fill up a new IV bag. Like, well, waste not, want not.
His therapist is doing like spit blot paintings. They're just like holding up poster board in front of their face. And they're like, okay, look at this spit and tell me what shape you see.
Austin, we're only having you do this because we want to see if you can actually say Rorschach without coating this couch with saliva. By the way, did you notice that Austin had a pillow with an octopus on it?
I did not.
He had a white pillow with a blue octopus on it. And I want you to hold that thought. This will have a better payoff than the bunny story.
Okay.
I think. Maybe not. So, okay. So they're talking about, like last night's crazy night. And Austin's like, yeah. Last night, like, JT told Shep that you spent the night here, and then Craig asked JT if our relationship is appropriate, and Taylor's like, what the fuck does JT know about sleepovers? I mean, he can't even reach the top bunk. Women can have, like, really close guy friends. That's, like, okay.
Yeah, and he's like, well, we don't have to defend ourselves. And she goes, yeah. Like, we're single, and people have the right to do whatever the hell we want, okay? And Shep did whatever the hell he wanted, and he wasn't single half the time. I mean, okay. But that's still supposedly your best friends. I mean, look, this is also... We're really having to give them the what do you call that, where you just believe anything
gullibility.
To sit through a story? No,
suspension of disbelief.
Suspension of disbelief, yes. We're really having to do that with this show because Austin and Olivia were never dating. And so all this crying and hand-wringing over someone being with someone that Olivia was so serious with. You guys were not serious. What are you talking about? He never took you seriously on the show. You fought the entire way through the reunion, even though nothing had happened. And then you said that you had dated like 1 week before he ghosted you.
Listen, they're all on a merry-go-round of slime, and I just can't have the moral outrage about it anymore. They're all getting on the ride. They're all getting their jollies. I'm just here to watch, see what happens, see if anyone breaks an arm. You know. So
it's just she came on pretending to date Austin to get on the show, which I get. You know, it's a rite of passage on these shows. But now this other guy. This other Roddy guy is coming on and doing the same thing with her. And I'm like, how much do we have to believe on this show? You know? Okay, yeah. Go ahead. There, I've got it off my chest.
Good.
Go
ahead, no, it's good. It's important. So Austin's like, people are just like trying to get to the bottom of it. And Taylor's like, I mean, that's why I didn't tell anyone about crashing here. Also, like, it's so embarrassing to think that I crashed here because now people are going to think I have less. So I knew people would be like, oh, Austin and Taylor. And I wouldn't even... bring that up to Olivia because I wouldn't want to make her feel uncomfortable. I'm like, she's been with Austin. I don't think being uncomfortable is really an issue for Olivia.
She has kissed Austin, okay? And both of those are the most uncontrollable mouths I've ever seen. They're both very uncomfortable mouths. Her, she chooses. She chooses with her mouth open, and he can't keep his mouth closed. I mean, could you imagine that makeout? So did you notice while Taylor was talking, they had to splice all of her words together to make a sentence?
I didn't, but I believe it because...
They also had to do it with Olivia later. It's like they can't... I think they talk
like
this, and she has, they have to splice.
She's telegram talk. She's like...
It is.
Here is like my thought.
That's
stop.
Why I didn't want to. Anyone to know? I spent the night here. They're like, Austin and
she's
here.
Like a dot matrix printer.
So Austin's like, yeah, but you can't bring that up to her. Okay. I really hope that doesn't happen. which
yeah,
I wrote he's gonna tell. Austin's gonna tell. Mm. But they beat you to it, buddy.
Yeah. So now Vanita, she's hosting a little gathering. So she's making a nice backyard. She's making punch. People get put on their makeup. Olivia is coming over to Olivia goes over to Taylor's house. Aha, aha. Pay attention. Olivia goes to Taylor's house and she goes up to Taylor's room. And what is on Taylor's wall? There's a little poster, and the poster is of the same blue octopus that's on Austin's pillow.
Wow.
They are fucking.
So you think that's like their do you think that's their like lightning from the Scandoval?
It could be, or it could just be a generic design that people like these days, like the gold pineapples at Target. Because I think I've seen them around, but I just want to say, the octopus spotted in two locations. So
wow,
yeah,
that's big. That's huge.
It's huge. It's my octopus.
We already know they're fucking, but it's still huge.
My octopus leecher. Okay, so. I feel like now I should go back and confirm there was an octopus on Austin's bed. But I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to propose this theory. And then, you know, everyone can correct me.
Let me tell you something.
What?
I noticed in Madison's closet, when Madison was taking selfies in her closet for Amazon. First of all, really nice closet. It's amazing. It's like beautiful. A whole room. And she's got these glass cases where you see her outfits hanging. Like she'll have one outfit to show it off in the glass case. And one of them was Little Orphan Annie's costume from Annie. So what does that mean? I don't know. You put it together.
I think that means
Brett's going to lose all his hair.
No. I'll tell you what it means. It means that Annie was born for corn.
Like Lord from Corn. That's what we call it in my house.
Tomorrow.
It's the hard husk life for us.
Tomorrow. I love corn. Tomorrow, you're only a stalk away.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Penelope is Taylor's dog, and Penelope's in a diaper because she's having her... Olivia's like, hey, Penelope, congrats on being a woman now. Spay your dogs. Spay and neuter your dogs.
I thought that's
Do
what
I
that...
Do I need to call Bob Barker up here? You
I thought
need
that's what
to
that
spay
meant.
And neuter your pets.
Was the diaper... Did the? So at this point, I'm sorry, because she says later on that the dog is basically in heat. I thought the diaper meant that she just got spayed. Does that mean that she's
no.
in heat?
It means she's in heat. Yeah, I think it's her girl time.
Is there like, I have a question though, because I don't know about dog stuff as well, but like, is there like a window before you're allowed to do the spaying? Or like, is this an example of like improper? Is spaying your dog considered?
I think you do it fairly early.
Is this anti-Jesus? Is it anti-Jesus to spay your dog? Is it like, it's not God's will?
Yeah, they're like, if you give your dog any kind of birth control, you can go to prison. It's like, oh, the South. Oh, you're doing great, the South.
By the way, can we have really quick question. What's the worst dog name? Penelope, Charles, or Poppy Seed? Or I should
Poppy
say what's
Seed.
The best. Let's be nice.
The nicest one is Penelope. Second is Charles. Third is Poppy Seed. Poppy Seed is just terrible. What do you think?
Poppy Seed is so bad that I actually feel like I like it the most in its own weird way, because it's the fact that it's not just Poppy, the fact that it's Poppy Seed, I like the rhythm of it, but it is the worst. It's the worst and the best for me.
And it's not really a human name.
Poppy Seed.
But it could be, because I knew a girl named Poppy, one of my best friends, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's a person, but then you bring Seed into it. I was like, oh, it's a dog's name now. So, you know, I feel like they're at least making some kind of an effort.
Penelope's like, what's that about Seed? That's a little slutty bitch.
So Vanita is talking to Charles, her scene partner. And she's like, Charles, I love an excuse to make a table. It's so cute and dainty. That's who I am. I'm so proud of my table. And then Madison comes over and she's like, oh my God, you're just like Alice in Wonderland out here. Looks beautiful. Good job, girl.
Wonderland.
Wonderborn. Hey, it's just like Alice in Wondercorn out here.
That's amazing. One corn makes you bigger. The other corn makes you small.
If you go chasing corn.
So,
Jefferson Cornship.
So Madison's there, yeah. And so then Leva comes over and she's like, Vanita is like the quintessential Southern belle, from her aesthetic to the way she hosts, which I love. I vicariously live through her because I would never wear Lily Pulitzer or anything like that, but it looks beautiful on her. I mean, what I would like to see her in is some sort of fluorescent green mankini and holding a sign outside of Republic trying to get people in, but I guess they can't all be my employees.
I mean, you want to talk about quintessential Southern? It was what Leva just said. I mean, quintessential Southern belle, just shitting all over somebody while you're pretending to compliment them. Wow, love her style. I mean, I would never wear Lily Pulitzer, but God, she looks great in it. So Madison's like, okay, well, anything new? And Leva's like, yeah, we're like planning this thing next week for Taylor, and my office is like blowing up about it. Like, you do this, you do that, you have day chasers. Okay, who the fuck is this day chasers, and why are they shoving it down our throat, and are they funding this entire season? Because this is ridiculous.
I just am looking forward to seeing Joey Marbles trying to try to shill for day chasers. Day chasers, this is like the best alcohol. It's like low in calorie and like huge in flavor. And I just want to do a great job for Leva. It's like, thanks, Joey.
Yeah.
So Leva is basically saying that Taylor, you know, they should just like be rallying around her because she's younger. And it's like she's kind of like hitting her first breakup. And it's like that first real breakup where it just like really destroys you. And she's like, it's been a long time since I've had my first breakup because I'm in a wonderful relationship with Lamar, and I have a child who I make cookies with incessantly when you don't see me. But I remember what it felt like when I had a breakup. It felt like everyone was against me, and, you know, like, what side is everyone taking? You know, all those terrible, terrible feelings.
Yeah, and I think she needs to hear that from you, Madison, because, I mean, you dated Austin, so you know what pain is, you know? And Madison's
and of course, Vanita, we can't hear it from you because no one takes a girl in Lily Pulitzer seriously. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, she's like, I would ask you, Leva, but no one needs to know about your boyfriend in Canada. Okay, yeah, we're all buying that one. We're all buying that one. All right, take it over, Madison. Madison's like, well, I knew that those were his friends, and you know, they're going to leave his friends. They started his friends. They're going to leave friends. I told myself right at the very beginning of that relationship, I said, Madison, don't go chasing Wonder Corn. Okay? Those ain't your friends.
Stick to the succotash that you're used to.
So she's like, I think if anyone can understand crazy, it's me. And we see clips of her being like, you're a beta, you're a pussy, just own it. And then it cuts back to her and she's like, things have changed, ain't they? I'm Martha Stewart now.
Although sometimes when I go to a Chinese restaurant, they serve me baby corn. I do call it beta corn.
So they all love each other's dresses because Taylor and Olivia arrive. So there's a lot of like, it's like a little touch of, woo, oh my God, you look great. You look all right. Oh my God, you look so good. You just look so good. Law. So Olivia and Taylor give a toy to Charles. So Charles loves that, which is funny because Bueller was just on screen earlier with a toy. And I feel like Bueller rarely has a toy on Kravitz on Demand.
It's that pink.
It was the pink thing. Yeah.
It's the there pink it rhinoceros. Yeah. It was a gift from his cousin.
Is that new too?
Yeah, it's new.
Bueller is like Charles.
Yeah.
In that sense of having a new toy.
So Taylor's like, yeah, we brought something for you and Charles. And Vanita goes, is it a dildo? And I'll start laughing. So Taylor's like, well, I would have brought Penny, but it's her time for months. We should have puppies soon. They would have puppies with Charles and just splicing it all together. But she's like, we would have puppies if I had brought Penelope over. And Vanita's like, oh no, but Charles doesn't have a ding dong. It's like, oh my God. So no one on this show really understands spaying or neutering. Okay. They did not cut off his ding dong.
I know. So the mask is like, well, where'd she learn that from, being a slut? And Taylor's like, well, not from me, not from the mama, not from me. So there's like, they look at the
Vanita unveils all the food and everything's nice. And then they're like gossiping and Madison's like, who's dating who? What's happening? So Olivia tells the story, which actually got me mad, not at Olivia, but it made me mad at Austin because I believed every single second of it. So she says, well, in uncomfortable news, I was at Share House as opposed to Warehouse, which is where Taylor was, because apparently we only go to bars and restaurants that are sound like Warehouse and Share House.
And, it was after a long day of shopping at the shoe warehouse. That was got a good deal.
And by the way, spoiler alert, the next scene is going to be Craig at a warehouse. So anyway, I was at Share House and a little while back with this guy. I was just like casually seeing him. And then like all of a sudden another tall figure approached and it was Austin. And he was like, well, hello, Olivia. Funny seeing you here making out with a random guy at a bar. I was like, ugh. Austin would 100% say that. I believe that's 100%.
He's so awful. Gross. He is. And Olivia's like, and he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm Austin. And he like shook the guy's hand and he said, oh, never took you for a triple A type because it's a baseball player, guys.
What? I can't believe Austin saying that.
What is wrong with this guy?
What a monster. And then, of course, it cuts to Madison, which is funny. And I was like, oh, that was a sly move by the editors. But then they actually just fully address it. Madison's like, yeah, that's a trigger for him. Baseball players. Uh-huh. So was yours dating J-Lo also? No? Oh, okay. I guess that was just me hitting at that level. Okay.
So they're all laughing. And Love is like, oh, by the way, I'm a busy person who doesn't dress like an idiot. No offense to Vanita. I didn't mean you. So, by the way, Madison, your party was beautiful. Can we get to the fight? Because I've been here 5 minutes. So it's time to go.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're talking about basically Taylor's like, yeah, that, so it was like trying to, have a conversation with Craig, but it all, happened so quickly. Then we see a flashback of Craig yelling at Taylor.
Yeah. And, Vanita's like, well, before you got here, we were talking about how you're acting different than you normally do. And Madison's like, take it from me. You should act completely opposite of how it went the other day, okay? I love this, like, Madison trying to be nice. Because the whole time they were leading up to this, they kept saying things like, guys, we really need to be nice to Taylor because this was her first relationship. And it just cuts to Madison, like, shrugging and kind of rolling her eyes. So whatever she's really trying.
Do like, whatever the opposite.
Yeah, just... okay, let's pretend we're at a movie theater and I want popcorn and I order it and instead of being popcorn, you're a hot dog. Don't do that. Just be popcorn.
So I should do the exact opposite of what I want to do. So you're saying I should be worshiping the devil? Is that what you're saying? So Madison's like, okay. Woman to woman, Taylor. Okay, I've been in your situation, okay, but not in as much of a dumb way as you. Those guys are thick as thieves, okay? And dating Austin, I knew from the beginning that they were no longer my friends. I mean, they weren't my friends in the first place, but potentially they were my friends, and then they were definitely not my friends. And they were going to talk shit about me and hide everything that Austin did. And I remember it hurting because it wasn't just that I had to mourn my relationship with Austin, but I had to mourn my relationship with Craig too. To put it simply, I was mourning for corn. I was mourning for corn.
Mourn for corn. So Taylor's like, yeah, that's just what happened at your party. And then we see a clip of her crying and going, you used to be friends, dude. Madison's like, yeah, I've been there.
Now, here's the thing. I would not let them make fun of your reactions anymore because that's what they're doing. They're going behind your back and they're making fun of your reactions. The biggest burn is let them go back and talk about, wow, how good Taylor is doing. I just saw Taylor. She looked like a runny egg. That's how she was dressed. She's doing great. I think she's moved on.
Taylor's selling a limited edition startup alcoholic beverage in a small club in the South. Make them jealous.
And Taylor is looking not happy, but she's like, I'm not going up again. I will go up against Craig. He's stupid. I'm not going up against Madison, you know? No. So she's like, you're right. And so they just keep going. And Love is like, yeah, I mean, I think you're better than that. Like, if you're going to get emotional, like, let one of us try to redirect you. And Vanita's like, yeah, because your emotions are always valid. Just, you know, when you're in public, you should probably pivot.
Use one of a different emotion that's equally valid, but not as valid and wild. So how about just like a not a non-embarrassing, but valid emotion. So Taylor's like, well, I think that
I think that Vanita, Madison, and Leva all have experienced heartache and know how to properly handle it. So I do want to heed their advice, but I wear my heart on my sleeve. And of course, my sleeve happens to look like egg yolk, but that's a whole different that's a whole different story.
So Vanita's like, you know, I know it's easier said than done, but we're going to back you up. And they're like, yeah, girl power. And Madison's like, yeah, imagine next time we can all jump in and be like, shut your stupid beta mouth, you stupid cocksucker. And Levitt's like, yeah. Also, I think that Austin at that moment, like, probably should have stepped in, guys. I mean, you're tight with him and he said nothing. I mean, he buried his face in his hands. So.
They cut to a flashback of Austin, like, literally his face is in his hands. So Madison's like, she's like,
yeah, I think that everybody realizes that, like, Austin doesn't have anybody's back. Can we call him Beta? Okay, on the count of three. Three, two, one, Beta.
So Olivia's like, yeah, I learned that the hard way. And Taylor's like, but you know what, guys, though? He's a much better friend than I think he is in a relationship. And, he treats his friends so well, right? I guess not that, like, Catherine's not there. We no longer have erms, so we have ums.
And Madison's like, Taylor, let's forget this friend thing. I think he's in love with you. Taylor's like, no.
Olivia, you seen that too?
And Olivia's like, no, I mean, I like... always liked y'all's friendship because, like, y'all were friends before I was friends with him, so that's okay by me. And Taylor's like, well, obviously, it's put me in a weird situation, and I'm like, I'm sorry if this makes you feel weird. She's like, no, you've been so helpful. You've been able to, like, translate between Austin and I, and, like, I love y'all's friendship, and I want you to maintain your friendship.
And Taylor's like, yeah, I just want us all to, like, coexist and be happy and drink Day Chaser. And Leva's like, well, we are gonna be like that because no one's fucking them. Ha 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 ha. And Madison's like,
yeah, those guys are a fucking embarrassment.
And they all cheers to that. And
she's like, I bet that you know what that means, Taylor. No going back. And then it just cuts to Taylor looking like she's about to start crying. She's like, please let me go. So then we go to Craig's new warehouse.
Yeah, and he's backing a U-Haul into the warehouse. And there's another Madison there. And she's Craig's employee. And she's like, ugh, he's going to take the mirror off. Like, she says it in a way, like, the implication is for the 10th time this has happened. Like, every single time he backs a U-Haul into this, he knocks off a mirror.
So I really love that because he's trying to back his truck in. He's terrible at it. Nobody believes in him. And then I really love that they bring in the partner. What's his buns?
Jerry.
Partner Jerry. To come in here and tell Craig off. Like, Jerry's not having it. We all see that this is really Jerry's business that Craig is the face of. And yes, it's so funny.
Yeah, so basically, Jerry comes in very much like, cool boss. He comes in high-fiving everyone. He's like, high five. By the way, no more telecommuting. High five. Okay, everyone. So, he's totally doing that thing.
I don't really need by law to ask anybody to change the name of this business to Sewing Down Jerry. Okay. Just wanted to remind you guys that. Okay. High fives.
Hey, we're having some layoffs tomorrow. High fives. You would get a call if something goes wrong. So they have an order. Kroger has placed an order for like 1,800 stores or something like that. I'm a little confused because I thought Kroger is a supermarket. Do they sell pillows at Kroger, or is this like some strange?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah, you know how some grocery store, well, you're in LA, they don't really have this, but in other places, they have little home sections in the grocery store, like an aisle or two.
Oh, like, so I've definitely seen like these seasonal stuff, and then they'll have some random like crappy stuff in there. Yeah. So either way, Craig has a Kroger order. So suck it, Austin, with your Harris Teeter trop hop.
We decided to order an 18 pack.
Yeah. Jerry has killed it with this business.
Want to totally bang Jerry. Jerry's doing hot. Great. Yeah, so, Jerry's hot.
So basically Craig's like, I'm like, I want to go to New York.
And Jerry's
why
like,
did I just say I want to bang Jerry? Who says that? When do I say that about? Yeah, I really want to bang Jerry. Sorry, Jerry.
Just one of those days. Jeez. Just one of those days. Maybe Jerry can get Bunny off the ground. So, from the executive producer of A Pillow Store comes a movie to horrify you, but also make you feel artful.
You want to see my new invention? This is my new pop socket. It's a bottle. It's a bottle.
That's not real, is it?
I got a thing on the back of a magnetic pop socket, and I put these little sticky things so I could get my phone to stick to my computer screen for our crappy hour live thing on Monday. And look, I just realized it's a pop socket that I could actually get my big ass hand around.
This is very Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
Well,
it's like when you make your little rafts, you make your rafts and you make your planes, but you make all sorts of weird shit. It's like making a pop socket out of a bottle. So anyway, so Jerry is like, God, I'm hot. Anyway, you can't go to New York, by the way. And Craig is like,
I gotta ask Paige because we're trying to split time. And he's like, no, it's not gonna happen anymore, Craig. It's not gonna happen. And Craig's like, yeah, but with the warehouse and this design deal, my responsibility increases. So if Paige doesn't move to Charleston, we're gonna be long distance forever.
And now roll that clip for the 45th time.
I don't wanna leave my mom.
So Craig's like, so I can't spend the summer in New York. I can't be on Summer House as a full-time cast member. Is that what you're telling me?
And Jerry's like, no, it's just a different ballgame, Craig. So then we go to Austin at bar 167, meeting Rod. The Olivia Rod. So Austin, not Rodrigo.
Two Rods, two Madisons, Share House and Warehouse. This show is really, really fucking with my brain these days.
Now, I get the distinct impression Austin hates Rod in this scene. And not just because Rod comes clean with trying to date Olivia. He seems to hate him. He comes in, he's like, wow, look at you wearing a baseball cap backwards. I wear a baseball cap backwards, but guess what? I don't do it often. But when I do, it's my drop top. It's my drop top hat.
You know, Rod is like, when I do, I wear it from an established, my hat that I got from an established company at a Christmas party because I actually work. Also, by the Rod's way, both like, of you guys should not be wearing your backwards hats in this nice bar, you idiots.
Yeah, typical. The woman they're sitting next to is like dressed to the nines and these fucking morons in their backwards hat. And Rod goes, yeah, Trap Hop, the official brand of man children everywhere. So it's an interesting choice of a place, right? Because there's not much beer here, but there are interesting cocktails. So that's something. And Austin's like, that's fine because I'm trying to take a break from beer. Yeah. Beer liked me too much. So we're on a break.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with tequila. Yeah. And so they're looking at the drinks, and then the bartender's like, the pink drink's really good. He's like, oh, what? A pink drink? Or I'll have the pink drink, even though I'm a boy. So then Rod's like making just like light conversation before he drops a bomb on him. He's like, so how was Australia? I saw you were there and didn't horrify all the kangaroos. And basically Austin's like, if it weren't for Christmas, I don't think I would have come back either. So they talk about each other, the past. They've known each other for 7 years.
So Austin's like, you know, he's telling us, I've known Rod for 7 years, and everyone likes Rod because he's the guy that avoids the drama. He's always referred to himself as Switzerland. And then it comes back to Austin, and he goes, so how are you, my non-dramatic man?
I have bad news for Austin. Switzerland, I'm pretty sure that didn't Switzerland like leave neutrality to go against the Ukraine war? I'm pretty sure that happened. Or was that Finland? Something happened. Either way,
I don't know. Austin's but I fun. Always support Switzerland because that's where Swiss Miss comes from and Swiss cheese. And I love chocolate and milk and I love cheese. Watches I could do without a watch, but the rest of it, great. Your whole time thing, Switzerland, we're over that. Okay, we're in a new era now, but still love your Swiss Miss.
Let me tell you something. How about this? I'll take your Swiss Miss and I will up it with a Toblerone.
Is that from Switzerland?
It's either from Switzerland or at least it's definitely using Switzerland theming because it has the Matterhorn on its logo.
No, well, there you go. So Austin's like, yeah, where are you, non-dramatic man? Which I didn't really understand. Like, why is he trying to, like, use that against Roddy. I guess he's, I think he's mad that Rod is on this show. And he's like, oh, yes. They got one of our most boring friends to come on this show. How are you, person with no drama? So Rod comes back at him by being like, hi, I'm banging Olivia.
So guess what? Switzerland is no longer neutral. And basically he's like, yeah, I thought I'd tell you to your face and clear the air as much as air can be clear around your face. And so Austin's like, yeah, I just don't know. I just don't know. Like, so you're saying you're going to ask her out? And Rod gives him this look like, yeah. Like, if you were listening to me, you would see I already did ask her out, kind of. But, like, that's fine. Like, if you want to just make it a future thing, that's okay. But, yeah, I wasn't asking you for permission, but I'm just letting you know. Yeah.
He's like, I think I just blacked out. And he's telling us, yeah, he's like, you know, like I do care for her a lot. Like I said, she's not my property, but you know, I did have her first. So mindsies. So
it's like, yeah, I mean, she could do whatever she wants. Like for instance, I did go out to Warehouse Share House last weekend and she was like kissing another guy. That wasn't you. Just want to let you think about that for a second. Oh, did I sabotage you? Sorry. Sorry, bro. Yeah. So, you know, she could do what she wants, but I think you're a great guy. Great kind of boring guy that she'll probably leave because you're just like not interesting and you're not tall enough. So yeah, great to hear it. Congratulations.
I love this being fake. Oh, I love this competition over each other's fake storylines. So funny. So Austin's like, yeah, you know, when you break up with someone, you know they're going to date, but I don't want to hear about it. I mean, great. Like now I have to put Rod's stupid face to this bullshit. Great. Great.
How do you think us as Americans, not Americans, but like, how do you think us as a nation feel about having your stupid face on our show?
Mm. So Shep goes to Olivia's house, Olivia's parents' house, with a Ziploc full of pheasant. The fuck, dude?
I got a Ziploc full of pheasant.
Olivia doesn't even know how to use a microwave. What do you think she's going to do with the pheasant exactly?
So she's like, did you catch it? He goes, catch it? I shot it. She's like, and then he goes, they're beautiful birds. I was like, well, I'm sure they, appreciate being that. Shot.
Sure they appreciate that compliment now that they're dead. And she's like, why are they warm? And he goes, because they're freshly killed. She's like, oh, there's feathers on this ship. God, what am I supposed to do with this? By the way, could you change a light bulb? No one's going to eat this. Go change a light bulb.
Why did you bring me two dead birds in a Ziploc? Oh, she's going to throw it over the fence into the creek. So Shep changes the light bulb. And I'm proud to announce, ladies and gentlemen, that Olivia and I have the same stepladder. So that was exciting. So Olivia says that basically her parents moved to Houston and she's the groundskeeper. And that her mom was like, Robin was like, oh, I'm really so happy that Shep's down the street in case there's an emergency. And she's like, Shep is the emergency, mother.
So they sit down and they start talking. He starts asking about Taylor and she's like, oh, she's kind of the same. And he goes, gosh, she hasn't progressed at all. Come on. She's like, well, it's just not easy being sad a lot of the time, Shep. You know? And he's like, okay, well, by the way, JT went after Austin's relationship with Taylor. And Olivia's like, he just doesn't get it. Like, Taylor and Austin are just, like, such good friends. That's it. And he's like, yeah, but he said that they slept over together and then my mind started to swim. Well, I don't swim personally. Oh, gosh, if I need to swim, I hire somebody else to do it for me. But my mind will do it, apparently. And I was like, is there something happening here I need to know about?
You ever see that movie, A Beautiful Mind? It really is beautiful. That's why I shot it. Here it is in a Ziploc. So Olivia's like, Taylor's my bestie, so don't you think that, like, she would tell me? He goes, well, I don't know what to think because Austin was tongue-tied, which I know is a redundant thing to say when it comes to Austin, but usually he fights back or just spits a lot, but this time he was like, those lips were really flapping more than usual.
He was tongue-tied as opposed to tongue-boxing, whatever it is that he's usually doing with his tongue.
Tongue-jitsu. He's normally doing Dancing with the Stars with his tongue, and his tongue is the entire cast.
and, you know, usually he fights back, so I'm having big questions about his trustworthiness. Oh, please. None of you are trustworthy. And Olivia's like, yeah, but, like, I would expect Taylor to let me know, like, if there is something there, right? And he's like, well, I mean, I hope there's nothing there, because that's just slimy, and obviously both of us would be disappointed in our friends, right? And then the orchestra's like, bling. And he goes, in that situation, right? Blink. The piano. Yeah, that would be kind of fucked up, right? The orchestra. She's like, how? That makes my stomach turn a bit. Thinking about it.
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking about you sitting on the sofa knowing how I'll have to clean it up afterwards. Just really makes my stomach turn. So now it's the next day. People are doing things. Vanita's doing something with Charles. Literally cannot deal with Charles. JT is doing diabetes stuff. Madison is leaf blowing nothing. She has her leaf blower out and she's just blowing her steps.
There's spoiler alert. Madison came out. She leaf blowed her patio. And all the dogs in the neighborhood go crazy. And I just love that Madison's like, I'm Martha Stewart, just doing what housewives do. And she's doing the two most obnoxious things at the same time. She's leaf blowing. And she's making every dog in the neighborhood bark. Like, everyone probably hates fucking Madison right now.
Yeah, we're never going to podcast in Charleston again because you know she's going to pull out that leaf blower right when we start hitting record. So, Taylor, then we see Olivia. Olivia's driving along and she calls up Taylor and Taylor's like, hey, what are you doing? And Olivia's like, well, I was just running some errands and I thought I'd see if you're out. I wanted to see if you want to grab some coffee. And then she tells us, like, she doesn't know, like, Shep's demeanor really bothered her, and she can sort of start to wonder if something happened. So Taylor's like, oh, I'm at Benny's, and Olivia goes, perfect timing, I'm right down the street. I was like, oh, you almost got it right. The proper phrase is, I'm just in the neighborhood.
Better luck next time, I was going to say, it's our first, I'm just happened to be in the neighborhood of this season. It just goes to show you, you can get new people. But they're still always going to just happen to be in the neighborhood.
I'm in the neighborhood. I happen to be in the neighborhood. I guess I'll give it to her. I'll give her, I'm down the street. That counts. I take it back. That counts.
I mean, it's pretty good. Yeah, she does say right down the street. But, you know, it is Charleston. So Taylor is sitting in this restaurant and she's calling Craig. And he's like, hey, what's up? And she's like, well, I know we didn't end on a good foot. And I just wanted to extend an olive branch. That's mine. And he's like,
it's okay. Don't stress about it.
She goes, okay. Because also I'm going to be doing a day chaser event at Republic tomorrow. And since they're funding this entire season, you know, I wanted to do it like a ski apri thing.
Ski apri. A ski Richie April thing. It's going to be fun. I wanted to give my apologies. And Craig's like, yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad. Listen, I'm sort of like jerking off right now, so this is like, cool, we'll talk tomorrow. Okay, bye. He like gets her off the phone. He does not want to talk to her whatsoever.
No. So then Olivia comes and she's like, that was a plus. I don't know what that, a plus, I think she meant.
How did she say
so, that? Oh, she goes, oh, you were talking to Craig. That's a plus.
Oh, is that what it was? Or is it that her drink was already at the table?
I don't know. And she's like, yeah, that's the Craig I like. This shit happens, and like, I just want to squeeze his head, though. So I have the shit that happens, like when you start yelling at him at a party. So she's like, yeah, so I invited Craig, and then I texted Shep, too. And Olivia's like, that's good of you, because like, I know you were in a weird space about it, so.
Yeah, I guess that explains why you're dressed like the egg you broke during last year's toss, huh?
This is the egg sweater scene, yeah.
So Olivia's like, speaking of Shep, he was telling me about the guys' night, and Taylor's like, yeah, and it raised questions regarding you and Austin and Shep, and Shep started to seem a little shook, so can you that for me, please?
Taylor's like, well, nothing is going on. I put my hand on a Bible. And Olivia's like, yeah, but he said that Austin was tongue-tied. So what was he being tongue-tied about? And Taylor just starts doing eye flares. I mean, these two are the worst actresses. It's like they've got two people worse than Whitney Rose on Salt Lake City. I mean, this is like, so funny. It's like the battle of charisma. Here we go. It's like a black hole coming up against a black hole. Let's just watch it suck.
Well, to be completely honest, so after New York, when we were both like not in good places with our like he was like not in a good place with you, and I was like not in a good place with Shep, and like we created an bond, and in the midst of vulnerability and brokenness and being in a city away from Jesus, I don't know, we just felt pushed together by the devil, and we're like, should we explore this? Should we explore this? The satanic relationship? Should we give up Jesus forever for this? What do you think?
And I'm the one who said it. I'm the one who said, is this something that we're meant to explore? And Livy goes, do you mean you two being in a relationship? No, Olivia. Okay, they meant fucking pheasant hunting. Yes, they meant the relationship, Olivia.
Beautiful birds.
Taylor's like, yeah, correct. And he's like, right now, I don't know either. So then I called my brother about it, and his advice was like, why jump from a frying pan into the fryer? And then I was like, that's a good point. I like baking things. And then he asked if there's real feelings or if it's just like a crutch. And I was like, slippery crutch, but you might have a point. We might have a point there.
So Olivia's like, I didn't know any of that.
So yeah, because you're like being blindsided. Like, I get that. And she's like, the reason I didn't bring it up is because you're going through so much already. And I didn't want to be like, oh my God, Olivia, I know you're hurting. I just want to have this conversation. Yeah, but I mean, you didn't want to hurt her. But I mean, come on, Taylor. Come on. So, listen, I know that going... first of all, I don't believe this relationship, obviously, with Olivia and Austin anyway. And it wasn't as long as Taylor and Shep. So I get it. Like, out of traumatized people, Taylor wins, like, in a trauma battle. And she's a lot younger than Shep. And Shep, that is a fucked up power dynamic. And Shep really did fuck her up. Now, all that said, come on, Taylor. Come on.
Taylor has to learn. Like, I think Taylor's way of getting through life is she looks the other way. Because there's never going to be an easy time to bring up with a friend. By the way, I asked if I could fuck your ex. And the truth is, it sounds like Taylor and Olivia were not really as close at during the reunion as they are now. So it probably was a thing where she's like, well, I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not close with her. I'm not friends with her like that. And then they become friends. And she's like, well, I don't know how to bring this up. I'm just going to whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't know how to bring this up. I think she's an avoider. We saw this. That's literally her entire relationship with Shep. I'm not excusing it, but I think that's probably what happened there. She just got in down this hole here. So Olivia's,
I think she's
like,
just a liar at this point, because and here's why. Okay. Because like, I'm gonna see, here's why.
Or that,
I mean, she's offering up some information, but she knows at this point, because she has been told, Austin told her, listen, JT brought up with the guys that you spent the night. So she knows that that's what was brought up at guys night to Shep and to all these people. And she knows that Shep is the one who told Olivia all this information. So why is Taylor not saying, and I spent the night at his house? She's completely leaving that out on purpose. And I don't understand why. Like, she should be smart enough to know if Shep was at her house, Shep tattletailed. And Shep's already tattletailing on you. Of course he tattletailed that part too. So this whole thing is fishy with Taylor.
Well, Taylor, the moment that Austin told Taylor that JT was talking about it, Taylor should have had the brains to bring it up to Olivia and get ahead of the story. So Olivia's basically, she's like, so, I mean, something must have happened because you all had conversations about whether or not to be boyfriend and girlfriend, like enough to talk to your family. And Taylor's like, no, it was a 24 period. And Olivia's like, but did he talk to his family about it? She's like, he talked to his sister about it. Like, I mean, we did go shopping for rings, but like, it was like all in one day. It's all okay. It's good. It's okay.
And yeah, I just talked to his sister, and Olivia's like, that's what I mean though. And Taylor's like, again, Olivia, again, it was a moment of weakness. And then like, you know, I just needed my crutch, and like, and she starts crying, and she's like, you know, like, I wasn't going to God for my crutch. I was going to somebody else. Oh my God. Please don't bring up God right now in this conversation. That is such a cop out. Are you fucking kidding me with this? Cut it out.
God has a lot of things to do. A lot of things. One thing that God doesn't have to, God is not lying on God's bed with his feet dangling over, like, on the phone, be like, hey, so what's going on? Like, what's going on? You gonna go back with, you wanna get with Austin? Girl, don't get with him. Do not. God has bigger fish to fry.
Also, God's not a crutch. Do you know what people with actual, like, hurt feet do? They use crutches. They don't use God, because God's like, I'm busy. I'm very busy, okay? How
dare you? God's like, I gave you a crutch. So,
you know who did that? God did it.
God did it.
I feel like that's one of the most underrated quotes. With Whitney Rose in Salt Lake City last season saying, you know who did that? God did.
God. I can't. So Olivia's like, yeah, but like, oh, so Taylor continues. She's like, I just don't want to ever think I'm betraying your trust. And yet you did. And you're still not saying that you spent the night over at Austin's, which is really fishy. So Olivia's like, yeah, but like, that's what's the bummer of this. Like, not you in the Austin part, because like, our friendship's like what's most important to me. And like, I mean, did anything that made you be like, he's my brother to you guys? Wait, did anything happen that made you be like,
go from being a brother?
We should, oh, he's my brother to you guys being like, oh, we should be in a relationship. Like, was there a drunken makeout or was there a drunken hookup or anything like that? And Taylor's like, no, anything. Swear on my life. Double hands up, looking you straight in the eye. Absolutely nothing. I swear to, oh gosh, I crutch. Shouldn't say it. Swear to crutch. I swear to my crutch.
Listen, I swear on all the fringe that is hanging off of my arms right now, nothing happened. So yeah, Olivia's
didn't like, mention the sleepover. Olivia knows that this girl is full of shit and she's not going to forgive her. And she gets up and leaves pissed and then starts crying in her car.
I actually genuinely felt bad for Olivia. There's something about her crying in the car that felt, I was like, I don't know why, that really made me really sad for her. Because she was like trying, she was like holding it in. She like walked out of the coffee shop like, fine, no big deal. And then she got into her Nissan Sentra or whatever it was and then just started crying at her steering wheel. And I was like, oh, you don't even know you're being filmed right now. I don't know, I just felt bad for her. She was hurt. I was hurt. And I had my heart felt for her. Sorry to say.
That's nice, Ben. That's really nice. Okay, fair. Everybody. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. This was a super fun week. We will be back Monday for Crappy Hour Live, 5:30 Instagram Live, 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. That's our live show. You guys come talk to us on there. We're going to have a great time with you. Can't wait to see you then. Okay.
Ronnie, bye, have a great time on Jeff Lewis. Talk to everyone later. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Love ya.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or You can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.